T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw. Biggs time.
The Biggs Report.
With Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 and a score. Brad Biggs is the football man from the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend. Biggsy!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Someone said there's a big game going on this weekend. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It might be Army-Navy. I'm not sure what it is. We're up here in the Brat Stop. We're in beautiful Kenosha, Wisconsin, and we're getting ready for the Bears and the Packers. And we were just having an interesting discussion about the differences with the Bears. I mean, wholesale changes really on the offensive line from the first game of the year to where you are now. The tight end position, we know the quarterback's playing better. We know the running back, one guy gone who was playing in that first game. The Bears are a significantly different team. Are the Packers that changed? I mean, they're not playing the same kind of defense. This is kind of an interesting point in the season for both teams to kind of look at where they've gone this year.
Yeah, I think the Packers have certainly changed a lot. The Packers have probably learned a lot about themselves. The Bears have made, you know, more changes than anything. The Packers had a brand new offense for that week one game at Soldier Field, and it looked like they needed a couple more weeks of preseason after that game. You know, they did not play well offensively against the Bears. Of course, the Bears' defense had a good deal to do with that, but it just kind of looked totally out of whack. And so I think that offensively they've been able to grow since then. That being said, they're not necessarily clicking here of late. Got beat badly at San Francisco in late November. Had the 31-13 win over the Giants the following week, but I think that game was like 20-13. That was a close game going into the fourth quarter. And then I think it's fair to say that they scuffled at home at Lambeau Field last week against the Redskins, who are a complete mess right now.
Brad, Roquan Smith out this week. You wrote about Kevin Pierre-Lewis in the Tribune this morning. Nice story. You know, when you look at what the challenges for him and the, you know, with Aaron Jones running the ball as effectively as he has, about 779 yards rushing, he's also a threat in the passing game. Does Chuck Pagano trust Pierre-Lewis to be that guy on third down, on second down, or do you expect the Bears to play more with six defensive backs and which, you know, the Packers may run out of that if they see that matchup as well? What do you expect in terms of those mixing and matching Pierre-Lewis?
Well, I think we could see some real, you know, chess here early in the game. You could see the Packers with base personnel on the field go five wide. You know, they could spread out the Bears to see how the Bears react, who the Bears send where, what type of coverage is going to be played, and it's going to be really interesting to me to see how Chuck Pagano and his assistants on that side of the ball handle this week and next week with the two inside linebackers out and with a couple of great offenses in Green Bay. And then they, of course, play the Chiefs next week. You know, will the Bears, I think one big question we need to have answered is, are the Bears going to feature more dime defense, meaning six defensive backs on the field? They've done it, I'd say, sparingly to this point. But will we see a Deion Bush out there or even someone else? You know, it's going to be really interesting. But Pierre Lewis is a guy who you don't have to worry about getting off the field because he can't run, and sometimes that's the case with inside linebackers on passing downs because movement skills are his strength. He can really get around, and it's going to be important to watch that with Aaron Jones because while he's been productive on the ground, he's got 12 rushing touchdowns this season. He's really good out of the backfield catching the ball too, and you know, Green Bay is going to be cognizant of trying to get the ball out quickly because they know that the Bears' pass rush has had success against Aaron Rodgers.
Brad Biggs is brought to you by Dunkin'. Chicago runs on Dunkin', as does the Mully and Haw Show. And Biggsy, when I start thinking about this game and I start thinking about the various players that could have an impact on it, I think it really hurts if Cordero Patterson is not available. You know, he's a kind of a big play threat whenever he gets a kickoff. He's a big play threat if they ever decide to give him the ball on offense. And the idea that he was limited in practice with a head injury, did he get dinged during the practice and came out? I mean, a head injury is not something you do in limited time. Usually if you got a head injury, you're not playing.
Yeah, well, guys, Matt Nagy spoke before practice, and the injury report came out after practice. The injury report actually felt like it came out a little bit later than normal on a Thursday yesterday. So Cordero Patterson, that would seem to indicate that something happened in practice yesterday, but I'm only speculating on that. If he was injured at the end of practice on Wednesday, had he missed any time, they probably would have had to have listed him at that point. Nagy could have addressed it yesterday. So that's something to keep an eye on today. What's his status? What's the nature of this injury? Is he in concussion protocol? Again, I've got no idea. You know, you see head injury and you tend to assume concussion protocol, but maybe the guy had a headache. I don't know. I would agree. I would agree that they need him. He gives them a bit of an edge. He gives them a threat. As we've seen this season, that kickoff could be to the back of the end zone, and I don't know how many balls are going to be sailing to the back of the end zone Sunday in the cold weather at Lambeau Field, but 7-8 yards deep, they like their chances. They're going to bring it out. They're going to be aggressive. They are looking to break a big play. They're trying to get premium field position for an offense that needs it.
Brad, Leonard Floyd has 7.5 sacks in 7 career games against the Packers. He only has 11 in 44 other games against the rest of the league. How do you explain that, and how big might he be on Sunday with Hicks back and with the attention paid Khalil Mack?
Yeah, Leonard's had 3 2-sack games against the Packers. He's had a touchdown against Green Bay. He's got 10 quarterback hits in those 7 career games against the Packers. He'd be a Pro Bowl. He'd be an All-Pro if he played the Green Bay Packers every week. He really would. And I don't know how to explain it. You know, David Bakhtiari is one of the best left tackles in the league. Brian Bulaga is a veteran that's been around forever. Now, Leonard's going to be way more athletic than Bulaga on the right side, but reality is I think you could say that about that matchup for Leonard nearly every week. If Leonard's going against the right tackle, he's probably going to be a lot more athletic than the guy. So, I don't know. The coaches say he prepares the same every week. It's just happened to work out for him. Leonard talks about it, you know, getting a good team rush, that sacks come when everybody does their job in the pass rush, and he just happens to be the guy who's picked up a handful against the Packers. I do know this, if the Bears want to win on Sunday, they certainly would benefit from a pass rush once again on Aaron Rodgers.
I can explain it if anyone's struggling with it. I think that those numbers predate even Khalil Mack joining the team. I think what we've seen is Aaron Rodgers holds the ball. Aaron Rodgers might be holding the ball less than he has before, but he holds the ball a long time.
Yep.
And the one thing that that you can talk about with Floyd is he has some closing speed, and he can get to somebody. So I think that might have more to do with the quarterback than the defense.
Because Aaron Rodgers has more confidence than other quarterbacks they face to hold on to the ball a little bit longer.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and that's something that they wrote about in Green Bay this past week after the win over Washington, is that Rodgers was holding the ball for an awful long time against the Redskins. It didn't necessarily turn into a ton of production for them, but that means plays are probably off script, and it's not going quite as Matt LaFleur has drawn up with the play calls.
All right, Brad, so I took a Lambeau leap of faith. I picked Bears 21-20. What do you think?
Yeah, I thought long and hard about this one. The Bears have got some confidence about them right now. I think they've got a real chance to win this game, the way their defense is playing right now and the way that the Green Bay offense has performed. All week I was set to take the Packers, and I was just trying to figure out, how many points I was going to give the Bears, but I think they could pull this one out. I picked Bears 20-17, guys.
Whoa.
Well. Wow,
we did not even compare notes.
Positive Bigsy. Who would ever have thunk it? All right, Brad. Wow,
right,
your
guys.
Class is sometimes full of it.
Thanks,
Thank
Brad.
You, buddy.
Have a great weekend, fellas. Have fun up there.
Thanks so much. Yep. That is Brad Biggs. He is the football man from the Chicago Tribune.
2017 Bears.
Yeah, you just plucked his score out of the air and used it.
I said 21-20.
Okay.
He said 2017.
Yeah.
He's picking a route. I'm picking a close
game.
See,
again, I was smart enough to take the Packers. I did like the points, but I think there's so many people that are judging the Bears differently than they have. And I'm not sure that I'm all in. I'm not sure that I've bought in completely.
I understand that caution, and I think that that's probably wise. I do want you to get back to your Mitch Trubisky explanation that we started off the show with.
The one that you shot down?
Yes, yeah, that one.
In about a minute?
Yeah, that one. Let's get back to that one when we come back.
Yeah, we'll do that a little bit. All right. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yeah, I just think it goes back to what we talked about the other day, is just making sure that we're extremely disciplined in everything we do. We know that he's a threat in the run game with some of the zone read stuff, and then also being disciplined with our rush lanes, making sure that we try to keep him bottled up, so, because he is an athletic guy and he can make off-schedule throws, and if it's not there downfield, he can pull it and run it.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We're at the Brat Stop, beautiful Kenosha, Wisconsin, and this broadcast presented by Kenosha Subaru and the Subaru Share the Love event going on now through January 2nd. Kenosha Subaru is located just minutes from the Brat Stop at 7900 120th Avenue in Kenosha, and this is the inaugural Brat Bowl, presented by Kenosha Subaru Brat Bowl. David, did you know that?
Yeah.
I'm surprised you haven't had a brat for breakfast.
No, not yet. A little early. It's a little early.
So you just heard, that's Matt LaFleur. That's the voice of Matt LaFleur. We don't hear Matt LaFleur very often, and we don't really care what he has to say, but that was him talking about Mitch and the danger of Mitch on the move. mobile Mitch, Mitch on the run.
A guy who did not do that much the first time around when he had, I think, 3 carries for 11 yards, and a lot of those were broken down pass protection plays. And against the Packers in the opener, he threw 45 times.
Mm.
45 times. I'm willing to say, even though I picked the Bears 21-20, if the Bears throw 45 times on Sunday, they won't
lose.
Be winning 21-20. Yep. You cannot have that kind of one-sided, imbalanced offensive attack. The secret to the Bears winning on Sunday and winning, you know, in December is to try to establish, is like every team tries, balance in the running game. So you work your play action passing game out of that, move the pocket, and hope that he's more accurate on the move, as he has been, than he is when you ask him to, quote-unquote, play quarterback.
I would go so far as to say balance in life is just as important.
I was not going to go that deep, but yeah.
Okay. But
right.
I mean,
in life, Molly, in everything. Life you need to balance,
yes.
You know, things.
Work with home.
Perspective. Work with home. Yeah, you want to sit. Yeah, you want to go there. You want to go.
No. I just want to talk football. But I mean, once you start talking about balance,
right.
I can't help but
all
think
right.
about, you know, it's you don't have to be, it doesn't have to be Cirque du Soleil balance. Okay, you don't have to walk a high wire for a living. You can find balance in your life and in your football.
And in your football, I think the Packers are a great example of that. You know, when you talk about what they have done well in the last. You know, I guess this season overall, Aaron Rodgers has not been the MVP kind of guy lately that you're used to seeing, even though you take him any day of the week. You know, and I
sure.
think here Tom Thayer described him as, you know, the best player in football, and I think that's still the best quarterback in the game if you're picking one guy to be consistent. But they're effective this year because Aaron Jones is running the ball, and Matt LaFleur is showing more discipline, I think, as a play caller, to incorporate the running game that they need to make Rodgers more effective.
I might take Lamar Jackson if I was looking for one quarterback for one game. Certainly this year, he has been the MVP. If you watched the fireworks last night, they had a big victory. I believe it was 42-21 blowout of the New York Jets, and he looked every bit the great player that he is. 5 touchdown passes. He was running the ball at will. He's an amazing player because he has found balance in his attack, where not only has he shattered the rushing record for a quarterback in the year, breaking Michael Vick's record, but and Bobby Douglas at one point, I think, was almost to 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, in one
season.
In the
990s, I think. Yeah.
That was the old.
I can't argue with Lamar Jackson. I can't argue with that choice.
Yeah.
No, that's a good time.
But this year.
Yeah.
And Mahomes is a guy.
Especially this morning.
Last year, Mahomes,
yeah.
Right? Well, that's what I'm saying. And it's not just recency bias. It's recent year bias. I would say that he has been on a different level. Now you have to change everything you do to incorporate a player like that. And I said to you this morning, I said he was, I believe, the 5th quarterback taken that year. If I'm not mistaken, the Baker Mayfield went number 1 overall. And in that same draft, you saw the USC quarterback
Darnold.
That he beat last night, Sam Darnold, go 3rd in that draft.
Right.
And then obviously there was Josh Bills quarterback and
Josh Allen
and Josh bounce around the league.
Josh Rosen.
Those guys were also taken in that draft. And then with the last pick of the first round, Baltimore gets themselves Lamar Jackson, who is arguably having a better season than Mahomes did a year ago, which is about as high a praise as you can make.
Yeah,
and it's a difficult one. I mean, how dominant? Mahomes was unbelievably dominant a year ago, but I would argue that Lamar Jackson is just as dominant, maybe with a different skill set and in a different fashion, but nonetheless really dominant. And I said to you this morning when I came in, having watched that game, and I didn't watch the entirety of it, at some point a man must go to bed if he's going to drive to Kenosha in the morning to meet with Mr. David. I thought to myself, why is it that they're not talking about the fact that the Cleveland quarterback, Baker Mayfield, has done very little this year, has been a part of, you know, I think because
Baker Mayfield, we
blame Freddie Kitchens for all that.
Well,
probably correctly so. They got a really bad coach situation there in Cleveland. But he was the guy that wanted him as his coach. Why is no one saying, boy, did they blow it by not taking Lamar
Jackson?
Because
I think people conventionally understand that in the draft to take Lamar Jackson as high as those draft
you
picks were taken,
him.
Top 10 pick.
Right.
Then
but Kyler Murray went number one overall.
Yeah, but Kyler Murray was a prolific passer in college.
He's also shorter, significantly
he's shorter. But he also was the guy that when you talk about the NFL passing game, you have to have somebody that you project to be skilled, polished, and a guy that you can handle and process and has experience processing NFL-like offensive playbook and offensive game plans. And I don't think that Lamar Jackson coming out of Louisville was that guy for enough
okay,
teams.
But you just said coming out of Louisville. What if he had come out of Oklahoma? What if he had come out? What if Lincoln Riley had been his coach? That's the argument about why they made a mistake by drafting him. And the other thing is they had already taken Josh Rosen. And maybe if they had been smart enough to grab Lamar Jackson,
my sense is
they
that
would not have taken
Lamar Jackson would have developed quicker as a passer had you asked him to do that more in college at Oklahoma, at a program that was maybe built more around the passing game. At Louisville, he was a dual threat, and he was a dual threat because of his unique skill set.
And the feeling was that he wouldn't be able to adapt to a pro-style system, which he hasn't had to. What the smart thing that happened in Baltimore is they adapted their offense to his
that's
skill
coaching.
Set.
That's
called
that's great
coaching. And we hadn't seen a lot of that with Mitch. We certainly haven't seen much of that with Baker Mayfield because his offensive coordinator became his head coach, and all they do is commit stupid penalties. I don't know. Sam Darnold was hurt earlier in the year. He wasn't around. I don't know if that's going to work out or not. He was also – how old is Sam Darnold? He's like 22. He came out at a very young age, right? He's a young quarterback.
He's flashed.
So
he shows some signs.
But
he's no Lamar
Jackson
is the point.
Hasn't flashed. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, as much as we kill Mitch because he's not he's not. But maybe we ought to look at other quarterbacks and other teams.
You look at Jets.
And
Browns.
Guys,
yeah.
Bills.
What do they have in common?
Cardinals. They don't have the coaching infrastructure that the Ravens did to kind of change everything and develop a player as talented as Lamar
but
Jackson.
But they fired the coordinator and hired a guy that could make that change.
Yep.
And, guys, I was just going to say, Lamar Jackson, as ridiculous as he's been this season, there are only four guys ahead of him in the entire league in rushing yards. Cook, McCaffrey, right. Derrick Henry, and Nick Chubb. He's just had an amazing season passing and running the ball.
And as much as I love the kid, there is a feeling in the league that he might not last as long as a conventional quarterback. I mean, you look at Aaron Rodgers, what year is he in? And again, he didn't start for the first part of his career, but it will Lamar Jackson age well if he's running like that?
And if he wins the Super Bowl this year, it will matter much less.
There you go. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. We're broadcasting live from the Brat Stop in beautiful Kenosha, Wisconsin, getting ready for the Brat Bowl, the Bears against the Packers. And we are delighted to bring in our man from Vegas by way of the Bay Area. Joe Fortenbaugh is a longtime contributor, a dear friend, a valued asset for all of us at radio.com, and we love him dearly, and he joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline. Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Joseph!
Morning, Joe.
Gentlemen, I got to hand it to you and the rest of the fine people of the Midwest, getting Bears fans and Packers fans together and having a good time. I grew up on the East Coast. You take Eagles fans and Giants fans, you put them together, that's a knife fight. If you put Raiders fans and Niners fans together, it's a knife fight. And in the Midwest, it's a brat fest. You guys are setting the example for the rest
of us.
It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing indeed.
Bratwurst is the great unifier, Joe.
You know, Joe, if you suffer from indigestion or you've got you've had too many beers and too many brats together, I don't know how you'd fight. I don't know. A knife fight would only be kind of acid relief.
I love it. I love it. It's it's the Midwest version of Army-Navy, which I'm sure we'll get into in a moment. It's something you all come together for. It's something you all watch, you respect, you love. But at the end of the day, you shake hands and realize that there is more to life than just the game. And you guys got a big one on your hands this weekend with the Packers. The Niners are out here looking to get past Atlanta. This is that time of year you truly live for, because you're really melding the family life and the holidays with the best the professional sports world has to offer, which is the playoff hunt and then inevitably the NFL postseason.
So, Joe, Bears-Packers, how far down is the number going to go before kickoff? Because it started out, I think, around 6.5 and 7, and I think today it's as low as 4.
Yeah, you're seeing 4.5 out there, and that's really good news for Bears fans. If you're taking a look at this game and wondering where the sharp money is coming down off that touchdown total, I'm trying to figure out the exact reason as to why. This is one of the games I wrote up earlier in the week. So generally, I'll come on and talk with you guys, and if I don't like the game, I'll try to find an angle. I do like the game. I did play the Bears. I like it at 4.5. It's obviously not the best of the number out there. But what I'm trying to figure out is, how good is this Green Bay team? Now, I know Aaron Rodgers is good. You know Aaron Rodgers is good. We don't need to get into that. But every other positional group and the head coach, how good is this Green Bay team? I've been going through their numbers. I've been taking a look at how they've been performing this season. They don't really pass the eye test. Aaron Rodgers and the team have posted a 3-2 record over their last 5 games, right? They beat the Panthers, the Giants, and the Redskins. Those three have a combined record of 10-29. The two losses in there were humiliating. They fell flat against the Chargers, and they got blown out against the Niners. Again, Rodgers is elite, but what about the rest of the team? The defense, 22nd in total defense, 24th in opponent yards per play, 18th in opponent third down conversions. Now, the Bears, as you know, they're back from the brink. They've ripped off 4 wins in 5 weeks. They're holding the opposition to just 17 points per game during that time span. And I think the Akeem Hicks injury and the fact that he's coming back, this is going to be huge. Joe O's been talking about it. The run defense and the drop-off in production from the Hicks injury in London against the Bears until now, when you have him versus when you don't, that push in the middle, the inability to limit the opposing team's running game, that's going to be huge for Chicago. Huge. And if there's ever been an opportunity for Mitchell Trubisky to play well this season, we've seen it against the highly suspect defenses. That's when he's put up his numbers. They've got 10 days to get ready. I like the points here, and it's not going to be a shock to me if you go into Lambeau and get that win.
Yeah, I like the points too, but I don't know about the win. I don't care if I get the points. What do you let's get through the college football schedule, because it's Army Navy and that's it, right? There's nothing else that we would care about, Joe. Do you make a wager there for action, or do you stay away from that game?
I do, because it's in my blood. How do I pass when it's the only game on the schedule? I got to have some action on Army-Navy, although I don't see a huge edge here, so it's not going to be the type of game that I'm going to go full throttle for. First and foremost, after dominating this series for more than a decade, Army has now come back to swing it from Navy. The pendulum's moved to the other side. Army's won 3 straight. Now, this game's going to be in Philadelphia. It's always a neutral site game, and weather is a concern. Weather is a concern. That's a factor when you're talking about a Navy team laying 10.5 points. Army got off to a good start this season. You all remember the overtime loss at Michigan against the Wolverines, but they stumbled down the stretch. They were humiliated in Hawaii just a couple weeks ago in a game where they should have been far more competitive. Meanwhile, Navy's been a wagon this season. They've only had 2 losses, I believe, Notre Dame and Memphis, 2 quality teams in that situation, and the offense has been a juggernaut. But again, the weather, the big equalizer, wind around 14 to 15 mile an hour, and then you've got rain in the forecast all day Saturday. The total is as low as 40.5. So I'm not playing a side here. If I was going to, given the conditions, I'd probably lean the Army a little bit. But when you put a total out there of 40.5, given what Navy can do on offense, I'm going to play the over. And this could end up being 13-10. It could be a huge miss on my part. I understand bringing the number down because of the weather, but to bring it down this much, with a total of 40.5, you have 1 big special teams play, 1 or 2 big defensive plays, and then a couple sustainable drives. You're right there. So for college, I'm going to play over 40.5 Army-Navy. I have looked ahead to some bowl games. I know we'll get into this in more detail moving forward. I'll be laying the points with Clemson over Ohio State. I will also be taking the 7 with Michigan over Alabama. Alabama. People keep telling me how crazy I am for liking Michigan in that game. It's not so much that I like Michigan. I hate Alabama in that game. I absolutely hate it. When they're not competing for a national title, they do not show up for these bowl games. Go back through their history. I think there was a Sugar Bowl game against Oklahoma recently where they got railroaded because they didn't bother to show up. The same thing happened against Utah years ago. And if you look at a lot of these players, they've got their sights set on the NFL draft. How many are really going to want to play in this game against Michigan? I know the Wolverines have struggled, but I think Harbaugh will at least have them motivated. So I'd take the 7 there. But we can get more in-depth with the bowl games as we move forward through the month of December.
The NFL, Joe, your Niners are getting a lot of love.
They are. They're a huge favorite this week. There's not a whole lot I like in that game. The problem is that they are really banged up. They just lost Weston Richburg, their center. He's out for the season. They've got injuries all over the place, and they've been able to overcome throughout the course of the season. But this is one of those games where you're coming off this three-game gauntlet in which you had to play Green Bay at home, Baltimore on the road, and the Saints on the road as well. Potential for an emotional letdown here. I see them getting it done, but that's a huge number to lay. And when it comes to the total, I might lean over. But again, there's not enough to love in that game. So the stuff I do like, and you're going to have to hold your nose for some of these. I already mentioned the Bears. I'm going to take the points with the Chargers against the Vikings. That's going to be crazy because I like to do this thing every week when the numbers come out. I just go right down the board and I just write down my initial reaction. I don't give it any thought. I don't reflect on it. I just look at the number and what's the first thought. And that game, I thought to myself, oh my God, I'm absolutely laying it with Minnesota. I was not more definitive on any game on the board than that. And then what I do is I go back through and I ask myself, why did I react like that? So I sit down and I start looking. It's like, why did I like Minnesota so much? That feels to me like I'm being suckered in, right? Like, why are they not laying the full 3 on the road? So you start to dig a little bit here, and you realize the Vikings at home versus the Vikings on the road are two totally different things. Minnesota at home, 6-0, 4-2 against the spread, giving up just 14 points per game. On the road, 3-4, 3-4 against the spread, giving up 24 points per game. In addition, for some reason, the Vikings have a serious problem when they get into the Pacific time zone. This millennium, they've played 18 games in the Pacific time zone. So that's the Raiders, the Niners, the Seahawks, the Cardinals, the Chargers, and the Rams, but only the last couple years. They're just 4-14 in those games. They have a big problem when they come out west. I can't tell you what it is, but I can tell you this defense falls off dramatically. Meanwhile, no one's making news of it, but Derwin James returned to roam the secondary for the Chargers. That is a big boost. They had a nice win over Jacksonville last week. I think that's baked into the line, so I'm not going to pay too much attention to that. But the Chargers are just this. They can feel that this is the end of the Phillip Rivers era. And while teams like Carolina and Jacksonville are packing it in, I think the Chargers are going to come to play here. And Kirk Cousins on the road versus at home, 80% completion percentage at home. That falls to about 63% on the road. I'm going to take a shot. I think the Chargers upset the Vikings, which is going to be big news for the Bears as well. Moving down, Sunday Night Football, I'll lay it with the Steelers over the Bills. The Steeler defense has been nasty this season, especially since they picked up Minkah Fitzpatrick from Miami early in the year. That was a laughable trade at the time, giving up a first-round pick, which could have been a top-10 pick for a safety when your season seemed lost after Roethlisberger was hurt. But that kid has made all the difference for that defense. They have been lights out. The key is Josh Allen, the quarterback from the Bills. He's completing just 59% of his passes this season. That's 32nd in the NFL. The Steelers do not screw around on defense. They've held the opposition to about a 55% completion percentage over the last 5 games. They have been very, very tough to sustain drives upon. Some about the Bills, when you send them on the road in the situations like this, it gets me a little queasy. Total's really low in this game, but I'll lay the points with Pittsburgh. Game number 3, I'm absolutely laying it with the Rams at Dallas. I don't think Dallas cares. I think the moment Jason Garrett kicked that field goal against New England late in the game, and you know what I'm talking about. 6 minutes to go. They're down 13-6. It's raining. They haven't sustained drives all day. It's 4th-and-6, 4th-and-7. They come out, they kick the field goal. Whether you kick the field goal or go for it, you still need a touchdown. Like, even kicking the field goal, they were still down 4. They still needed a touchdown drive. And then Garrett goes on air the next day and starts talking about how he doesn't have analytics guys helping him with the decisions. You know, he doesn't necessarily regret the decision. I think he lost the locker room right there with that, because since then they played 2 games against Josh Allen and your boy Mitchell Trubisky, and they've given up about 60 points in 2 losses. They look lifeless. Plus, even if they lose this game, they're still in contention for the division. They just have to beat Philadelphia next week. The Rams have turned things around. Garrett doesn't make the adjustments. McVay does, especially after that Patriot loss last year. He's learned that he's got to have a better plan for the second half. I'll lay it with the Rams. And then finally, if you're looking for a little six-point teaser action, Carolina's packed it in. I don't like laying the big points with Seattle in Carolina because it's their fifth trip to the Eastern time zone this year, but I would tease that down. You can get it down to about a pick'em or a half point. I see them winning that game. They're 6-1 on the road this year, and they've lost back-to-back games under Pete Carroll. I think it's only like 5 or 6 times in the last 7 years. Seattle does not lose back-to-back games all that often. I tease that with the Raiders. Final game for the Raiders in the Bay Area. Final game for the Raiders at the Coliseum. They're laying about 6. Tease it down so they just need to win. Partner it up with the Seahawks. Jacksonville's coming in. Jacksonville's lost 5 straight by 17 or more points. They do not care at all. So Raiders, Seahawks, tease. We're playing the Bears. We're playing the Steelers. We're playing the Rams. We're playing the Chargers. And we're playing the over in Army-Navy.
Joe, you're the best. Thank you, buddy. Always a joy to catch up with you.
Have a great weekend, Joe.
My pleasure, boys. Good luck this weekend. Enjoy the remote. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, pal. God bless. That is our guy, Joe Fortenbaugh, out in the Bay Area. And we are broadcasting live from the Brat Stop. Come on out and see us. We are right off 50 here, off 294, and presented by Kenosha Subaru and the Subaru Share the Love event going on now through January 2nd. Visit KenoshaSubaru.com for details, and the Brat Stop is an amazing place. Am I kidding you? These guys are enjoying a little brat omelet over
very
here.
Very Christmassy, too.
Come
very
on.
Christmassy.
And it's very Christmassy.
Tis the season.
What a glorious, glorious, giant, spacious, wonderful building here. My goodness gracious.
You have to see
gracious.
It to believe it.
Yeah, come on up
out.
And take a look. The Score will be here all day, and our counterparts from Milwaukee, our brothers in sport, are on the other side of the place. We're here on the stage, and they're over by the bar. Not a surprise.
They're far enough away not to hear your insults.
No, I think they're drinking is what I'm saying.
Why, yeah.
They're by the bar. It was just a joke. I would never insult anyone. You
never,
know that, David.
Never.
It's beneath me.
Yeah.
Every man, insults to any man diminish me.
Brian Baldinger is next. We'll talk Bears-Packers with him.
Baldy knows a lot about it. We'll get into it. Mullenhaw on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.